And Colson, thanks for throwing me under the bus last week when there was audio problems and you blamed me for them.
You're welcome. I did that on the big board too, didn't I?
Yeah.
On the big board.
On the big board. At least you didn't do it in the soccer channel this time.
The document of record.
Yeah, you were in the general throwing shade at me.
That's right. No, I wasn't throwing you under the bus. I was throwing the new computer system under the bus, I think.
But I distinctly remember after we started recording last week, and then you were fiddling with your buttons. And then it was subpar.
Yeah.
Well, still instant classic, though.
It was an instant classic, largely because of Jason's editing, I think.
Yep.
If I had a nickel for every time Colson fiddled with his buttons
during the show,
I wouldn't have to do this podcast. Tell you that much.
You know what? I'm not comfortable. I can't see your hands right now. What are you doing?
Hand check.
I'm not standing up, though.
It's the best thing for everyone. Yeah.
That's right.
It's Porky Piggin.
Not wearing pants.
Porky Piggin.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah, so just
prepare. Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm going to be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
The train is off the track.
I feel like you can't just like jump through Neptune and be okay.
Just prepare to.
What the show needs is more dogs and bears and chickens and stuff.
Yeah, so just prepare to be a watch and unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Undebeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. Today is February 24th, 2019, and this is episode 373. Coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana, I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're going to discuss a 2-0 week for the Pacers, including games against New Orleans and Washington. Joining me are all three of our analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What is up, Undebeatables? Shout out to NBA basketball. Actual NBA basketball. It's back.
From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender mixing up the drinks in the crappy jingles, John Colson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? Real quick shout out to Mike Morrow, who turned 40. Shout out.
Shout out.
Shout out.
And from Eugene, Oregon, out west, it's our enforcer, John Harper.
What up, fellas?
Before we start the show, I just want to remind you, you can support us anytime you shop at Amazon. If you just click the referral link in the show notes or theunbeatables.com/Amazon, do some shopping. It kicks a small percentage back to us and helps support what we do. First thing we got for you, Colson, I need a boomerang in my life. What do you got for me today?
Well, after last night's victory, spoiler alert, the Pacers went 20 games above 500. They're now 40-20, and I was thinking that was very impressive. And I looked back over the Pacers' 42-year NBA. I don't know, what are they? 42-year thing?
History?
42-year history. And we six times ended a season over 20 games above 500. And I was wondering if you guys could give me those seasons. It's tough. It's going to be tough. But get yourself an eras. Think about, you know, quality Pacer teams. And I think you guys can handle this. These are your favorite teams of all time. We're going to start with Jason.
I'm going to go, let's see. The 03-04.
Nicely done. Jermaine O'Neal, Ron Artest. They went 61-21 that year. That is the highest NBA total. Actually, that's the highest in the history, even the ABA. I don't think we ever won 60 or more. So it's a good season. Nicely done. Harper.
How about 99-2000?
99-2000, the year we went to the finals. We won 56 games. We were 56-26. Nicely done. Joey.
Let's go 13-14.
13-14. That was Paul George, Roy Hibbert, David West. We went 56-26 that year as well. All right. Back to you, Jason.
Okay. So there's some neighboring years. I want to say 98-99, but that was a lockout year, so I don't know. I'm sure,
you know what?
On no, pace.
I'm gonna give you credit for that. They were on pace for 51 games, which would have been 20 games over 500.
All right, cool.
You get that bonus. One. Nicely done. Because we only played 50 games that year. We were 33-17.
Love the Colson rules.
Yeah.
So there's actually still three left, because that was the secret gimme. Harper.
How about 95-96.
Well, nice. Done. That was the height of the Reggie Miller, Mark Jackson, and we went 52-30 that year. Joey,
let's go 12-13.
No, sorry, buddy. Yeah. That's a good guess. 12-13. We went 49-32. Very close. Very close.
That was before the team got destroyed because of the Danny Granger trade, right?
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, that was.
I just wanted to bring that up because that makes you sad.
that year we
only played 81 games.
Oh, that's right.
We went to the Eastern Conference Finals that year, right. But we did not hit 20 games above 500. So. Good guess, but you're out, Joe. All right, Jason.
I'm going to go 96-97.
96-97 was an off year for the team. Oh. That was the year that Reggie Miller, I believe, had an eye injury. We got out of the first round of the playoffs. Is that right? Or no. We went 39-43. That was the year we fired Larry Brown. The team
way
basically
off.
Imploded.
Way yeah. off. Okay.
And then hired Larry Bird the next year. So,
gotcha.
I don't think you're way off. I'll go, what did I say, 95-96?
You said 95-96.
I'll go 94-95.
94-95. That was our breakout year. The team had been always miserable playing 500 ball or below. That year we went 52-30. That was the year after we surprisingly went to the Eastern Conference Finals. That was the following year. So, all right, there was only one left. Harper, you can finish this off.
Harper just went.
I know, but you Joey's missed. Turn. No, Joey missed. Everybody's out.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, so this
oh,
just
good,
because
my next
win.
Guess was going to be like 79 or something. I don't know what the other one is.
It's 97-98, the year we took the Bulls to the seven-game series in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
We won 58 games that season under Larry Bird. But I'm going to give it to you, Harper. You win this week. So,
what? The?
Good work. Good work.
No, that's great. I love the walk down memory lane. We've had some great teams, and it encapsulates a lot of those groups of guys. This team, I think, should be it's going to be tough to end 20 games by 500, but all we have to do is go play 500 ball. We go 11-11, and we're in this category. So let's do it, team.
Well, I think we put ourselves in a good position to get there with the way we played this week, or the way at least the results went this week. First game, February 22nd on Friday night, at home against the Pelicans. Pacers win this one 126-111. The missus and I were in the house. It was a great night to be there too. The first half was concerning. It looked like the team was still on vacation.
You didn't leave at
halftime?
The
second half was amazing. Wesley Matthews is back. He's entered the top 25 of the Pacers all time for John Colson. Domantas Sabonis, amazing. Double-double, 18 points, 13 boards, 4 assists, and a block. And Saturday night, February 23rd, at Washington Wizards. Pacers with this one also, 119-112. Thaddeus Young killing it, 22 points, 4 boards, 3 assists, a steal. Bogdan, 18 points, 4 rebounds. Those two guys got most of the scoring done. Jason, you were in the house for the Washington game. What was the atmosphere like? What was the team as they held on to victory?
They were good. I thought that this was a game that they had circled on their calendars. The last time they were in Washington, I thankfully didn't go to the game because they got blowed out. I went shout out to my friend Colenso and Lauren, who I went to the game with. They were even commenting at times in the game that it's very quiet in here. I was like, yeah. Mm. That's how I like it. And I think I tweeted, like, the during timeouts, the interactions between the Wizards bench were basically the polar opposite of the interactions between the Pacers bench. Like, the Wizards bench, they don't even get within, like, a foot of one another. They're just, like, all spaced out, and they don't talk at all during the timeouts. And the Pacers bench is, like, the opposite. They're, like, you know, joking, talking, at least strategizing, whatnot. They were in control of this game basically from the start, and were it not for some Bradley Beal heroics down the stretch, really would have gone away with the blowout. But Wizards made it close towards the end, but it really, I was unafraid of losing that game the entire time. So good work by the boys.
Yeah. And I thought a good response to the Pelicans game at home. We just came out so flat in that first half. And in the Washington game, we obviously had that circled as something that we wanted to correct, and we did. We came out with great energy in that game. We ended up looking a little tired down the stretch. A lot of fouls on defense where we normally don't. A lot of turnovers down the stretch where we normally don't. Mm-hmm. So we definitely made that one a little tougher for us. But, you know, it's a good win on the road against a team that really turned it up and tried to make that game into something. I was biting my fingernails a little bit.
Well, and I'll say, shout out to Nate McMillan, who... facing a Miles Turner absence, who he bruised his, came back after a long break, first practice back, and bruised his hip, and now he's out, or he's day to day or something like that. Yeah, but Nate McMillan decided, instead of sliding Sabonis into the starting lineup, to put Kyle O'Quinn in the starting lineup to keep the bench unit intact, which I thought was a move that could really come back to bite you in the ass. And it looked like it was going to be that way in the Pelicans game. Got off to a poor start. And even in the Wizards game, it stretches. Didn't look coherent. But I would say the bench definitely won that Wizards game and played a big part in the
in keeping the us alive
game.
In that
Pelicans Yeah, they got game. Us yeah. back in the New Orleans game when we were, you know, flirting with being down 20 in the first half.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Which, that game, I think the stat was the Pacers trailed by 20, but then ended up winning by 10, which was the first time they had done that since, like, 2005, I want to say. Something like that was the stat, which is a weird stat. But
yeah,
there you have it.
Yeah, but, you know, New Orleans tried out Anthony Davis in that game. They had a healthy Julius Randle this time, which wasn't true last time we played them. And we gave this team... really just all they could handle in that second half. Turned up the defense, started moving the ball better, which we just, when we don't have the kind of dedicated one-on-one scoring of Victor Oladipo, we just got to have guys moving the ball around the perimeter, and we did just a much better job in that second half. You can call it shaking off the All-Star break, what have you, but that was a really fun second half to watch. Luckily, I was able to fast forward through most of the first half. So
nice.
Didn't torture myself too badly.
Yeah, and Wes Matthews goes on a personal, like, scores 15 in the third quarter, I think it was, and goes on a personal, like, three straight three-pointer run, one of which he banked in. Shout out to fan Jared Ben, who I was soliciting nicknames for you, Coulson. For
That's what right, you I appreciate him. It.
And
Wesley Sniper was one of them.
Wesley Sniper was pretty thrown
good.
Out.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty decent, yeah. I'm sure you'll come up with a clunkier, better.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
And, Harper, I'm glad you mentioned Anthony Davis, because he did play, save a critical stretch in the last 5 minutes of the ball game where he was noticeably not on the court.
Yeah.
This is going to be a big problem for the NBA going forward, I think. This is tanking. I don't understand how to call it anything but tanking. When you take your best guy and you don't play him. Like, I understand the reasons why, and Anthony Davis is probably cool with it, but it's just, like, this the weirdest situation ever. Like, he had a 25-minute cap. He had played 20, so he could definitely have come back out. They just didn't do it, so.
Nope.
Weird. Very weird. We'll take the win. But
yeah, for sure we'll take the win. And, whatever. The Pelicans made their own bed. They're a train wreck. They're a train wreck right now. But we're not. And, you know, Wesley Matthews had some big stretches in that Washington game on the road, too. It's one of those things, you know, you get I know Wes Matthews is like a savvy old vet or what have you, but still, new guys on a team just tend to play a little bit better at home. And he had that great breakout game at home. But then he carried it onto the road and did a great job in Washington down the stretch, too. Defense was there all night. Shooting was there at the end when we needed it. Really gutty effort to close that thing out when things were just not going our way. We couldn't figure out the full court pressure, and it was looking ugly. But we did just enough, and Sabonis was 18-13 in that game. Big contributor. Kylo Quinn. That was in the New Orleans game. But he was 13-12 in the Wizards game as well. And Collison hit some big shots down the stretch. I think this was the 12th game this season where we've had seven players in double figures. That's 20% of our games. That's really pretty impressive.
That leads the league. You'll not be surprised to hear. Yeah,
it's
for sure.
It's got to, right?
Shout out to Kylo Quinn for his diving out of bounds play, basically sitting in the front row, turned around after getting the basketball out to Wesley Wesley Splash Shoes for the three. I'm working on
workshop
stuff.
That.
Workshop. Yeah. But he nails it, and it was great. I love the hustle, and you can't get rewarded better than hitting a dagger three. That really gave us some breathing room. So
Wes also took a big charge from Thomas Bryant, which I am perfectly happy that I didn't have to do.
That's a big dude.
It's a big dude.
Yeah, we had three or four blocks, and yeah.
I liked Quinn's play these two games, but he was taking a lot of long twos.
That's his game, though. It's his game.
Yeah, but they weren't falling.
Yeah.
He looked good doing it, but
they were definitely giving it to him.
Well, I mean, you know, he had 10 rebounds in the
for a reason.
He had 10 rebounds in the first game. He was 4 of 6 against Washington, with 6 rebounds and 5 assists. Like, he's out there creating activity, you know.
Yeah,
he's a pretty good passer too.
And I agree with you, Jason. I think it was a brilliant move by McMillan to go ahead and start him and keep the reserves intact, because, you know, Evans and Sabonis have a really good connection, and keeping them together on the floor was useful. I thought McDermott had a good week as well. I thought we did a pretty good job of trying to keep him incorporated. He got his shots up.
Washington.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah, Evans definitely benefited from the break. He looks, I think he may have gone to Europe and done some,
I think he
sort of treatments.
I think he got some knee injections.
Yeah. Okay. He got a new knee injected. He looks fresh. And then, you know, we're burying the lead. The real story is, holy crap, how tan did you think Bojan Bogdanović could get? Like, when last we saw him, he was akin to Casper the Ghost in his level of whiteness, and now he's a suave Eurotrash, I guess. I don't know.
Shows up to every game in a tracksuit now.
Yeah, exactly. Lots of bracelets, lots of gold bracelets.
Both these games go to after the first half of that first game, just goes to our depth and our professionalism. Thad Young and Bogey, I think, like missed one shot in the first half against Washington. Darren Collison had 12 assists and one turnover against New Orleans. He hit a big three and a big jumper down the stretch when Washington had made it close. We've just got a lot of professional basketball players, 1 through 10 on this team. And Wesley Matthews is fitting right into that. He comes out and saves this game. He hits a really important three right at the end of the half to move it from 16 down to 13 down. And then explodes in the third to turn the game around. It's a delightful group of guys to root for, and they're all just playing their butts off.
Yeah, Thad mm-hmm. Young had a bit of a rough game against the Pelicans, but he just murdered Washington.
Yeah.
9 of 11. I mean, certainly he's always what he is, right? He's very active, including off the ball and on defense. But that Washington game, that first half of the Washington game, it was like all Thad Young time. It was awesome.
Yep.
Also, Bogey had a nice nutmeg on Trevor Ariza, which I thought was for a block of two. It's a good look for that. I like that. I always love those.
Joey loves the nutmeg.
Yeah.
Solid week of Pacers basketball.
Yeah, without
solidly
a doubt.
In third place, I think we're a full game ahead of Philly now.
Two games against Philly and three against Boston right
there
now.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah, great separation here.
Yeah, Chicago did us a favor and beat Boston yesterday.
Yeah. And Philly is without Embiid for a stretch, so that's going to...
It's all fine. They've got Jimmy Butler. Everything's fine.
Oh, okay, yeah. He's never ruined anything.
Nope. Perfect citizen.
I'm bummed out that we don't have a chance at the top four in the East. Just from all the articles I've read in the National.
Sure. Yeah. When no one talks about the Pacers at all. So Joe, you often talk about the going to the donut hut and listening to the old men at the counter.
Donut shop.
Donut shop. I like to call it the hut, but yeah, they.
That's what the locals call it. Come on, Joe.
and you always gauge how a Pacer season's going by listening to the old guys. I have a similar situation yesterday, listening to four old guys talk about the Pacers and just kind of eavesdropping. And
was that this show?
Yes. There you go. That's okay. It. But they couldn't stop talking about how they haven't enjoyed rooting for the team this much in a long time, about how hard these guys play, about what good guys they are, about how they share the basketball. And then one of the guys went on a rant about how he had read an article about the Eastern Conference playoffs, and they talked about the four teams that mattered, and they didn't mention the Pacers once in an 11-paragraph. You know, he went on and on and on. He was very upset about it. Nice. Yeah, so I think the city's embracing this team, and they're a little bitter that they're not talking about us in the national media as well.
Keep not talking about us.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah,
yeah, we'll just keep winning basketball games.
Uh-huh. That's right. And we're almost to the death march, but we're not quite there. So we got some more winnable games this week. Four games this week.
Mm.
After the break, they start coming hot and heavy down the stretch here. Monday at Detroit, Wednesday at Dallas, Thursday versus Minnesota at home, and Saturday versus Orlando. Those are all winnable games.
Yeah. Was there a back-to-back in there?
There is we Dallas do yeah Wednesday or, Thursday.
No, sorry,
Dallas. At Dallas versus Minnesota.
Okay, but Minnesota's at home.
Yep.
All right. Let's sweep
Wilson,
it.
You probably. Let's you sweep. Probably. Can you look up on Basketball Reference something real quick?
Sure.
What's the so what is the Pacers' record in the last 10 years when the second game of a back-to-back is on Thursday?
Okay, I might not be able to do this live. I could get back to you.
Okay. All right.
It's so I have trouble asking Siri stuff. She doesn't really seem to respond well. I think it comes from my inability to Google the right way as well. Because she's just Google, right?
We'll take this offline.
Yeah. Well, I know it feels truthy that the winning percentage is 100%, so I'll go ahead and call the sweep.
Oh, nice.
Let's call the sweep.
I like it. Let's do it.
What are you doing Thursday night, Joe? You want to go to the game?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. Let's go beat up on Minnesota.
Okay. Like us, just the two of us? Because those dudes are, they're still bigger than us.
Okay. Challenge them to a game in the parking lot.
I should rethink this.
Right. Towns, you got nothing.
Close is going to get stepped on.
I tell you what, though, I can take a lot of charges, and I'm just hoping that if just call your own fouls, I'll be fine.
You're like the when Homer Simpson was a heavyweight boxing champion, he just took hits. He was able to take hits. That's your strategy.
He was just
get in front of moving freight trains.
I'm gonna go ahead and say right now I can't take hits. I'm just gonna say that.
Oh, God. All right. Well.
And I can't run very fast, so just don't talk a lot of schmack, Joe.
All right, we'll have to figure this out later. Might need some Jason and Harper. I might need some coaching advice. If you guys, maybe I need something, some advice from McMillan for us for once.
Yeah,
I think it's time he repaid the favor. We've done him a lot of favors over the years.
Sure,
working hard.
Just need. Little payback.
Just a quick strategy meeting on this.
Yep.
Should be fine.
Probably the first one's going to be subbing Colson out for somebody else.
It would be an excellent strategy.
Okay. I might use Kylo Quinn. Sorry, buddy.
I would take Kylo Quinn on my team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Luckily, he's on my team.
Yeah. And Joe, you just like run and like curl up in the fetal position behind his legs. And Kylo Quinn will take care of the rest.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be good.
Yeah.
He'll be good. All right.
Siri, how do I beat up Timberwolves in the parking lot?
So, did you say the Minnesota Timberwolves?
Oh, no, I didn't. Oh, I didn't mention that.
See, that's the problem.
Now now there's stuff on how to wrestle wolves.
Oh.
That's not true. It didn't come up. Nothing came up because she doesn't trust me.
Yeah, your Siri privilege is revoked.
Even the machines have stopped listening to you.
Yeah. Siri's like, I'm out on this shit.
She's like, I could get in trouble if I tell you if I answer these questions. Well, gentlemen, I think that's about it until Thursday. We'll be back with you covering some other deep topics on the next show. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables, and we're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Website, TheUndebeatables.com. There's a contact form there. You can send us a message. Thanks to everyone who's been doing that. And wherever you listen, it's iTunes, the podcast app, or hey, guess what? We are now on Spotify. You can listen to us there.
And, all the cool kids listen to Spotify.
Yeah. And you can review us there, or share an episode if you think someone in your life would enjoy it. We've got t-shirts for sale on the website/store.
For our once and always coach, Bobby Sick Leonard, now in the Hall of Fame. Turn out the lights, the party's over.
Were you trying to? Attract the Timberwolves.
That's right.
With that,
that's my Timberwolf impression.
Is a Timberwolf different than a type of a regular wolf? Like, are they a sub?
I think they're a subcategory of wolf. They live in the tundra with the. This could be un-Googleable.
Are they similar to a dire tundra. Wolf?
A wooden tundra. I don't think there's any such thing as a wooden tundra.
Wooden tundra.
You got to pick one or the other.
Well, maybe now, you know, climate change and whatnot. There probably are woodland tundras.
Okay, so I do have a question. It is super windy here today. I need to know how bad wind can get. Like, is global warming just going to blow us off the map? Is this what's happening?
I don't know, but I've had some chili and had some really bad wind. So. Is it going to blow us off the map? What are you talking about?
It's really windy out there. How windy does it have to be? I mean, I know, like, hurricane forces knock down structures, but can just, like, a blustery wind take away my teacup dog?
There actually was warning put out somewhere about being careful with your tiny miniature dogs.
I totally get it. Like, everything's blowing over around here.
Yeah. There are things called straight line winds, which are, you know, can have almost tornadic wind speeds.
So I looked up the fastest recorded speed. It was 253 miles an hour.
Oh, it was the fastest wind speed ever?
Yeah, recorded.
That seems really fast.
I mean, that seems like what I would expect in a tornado.
I feel like tornadoes are lower than that. Like, yeah. Aren't hurricane force winds like 150?
Yeah. Something? Yeah. Like that, and that'd be like a really big hurricane.
That's a Cat 5.
Yeah.
And aren't tornadoes more powerful than hurricanes?
That was the highest one not related to a tornado.
Oh.
Okay.
I mean, that's super fast for not tornado. That seems ridiculous.
302 miles an hour, but they're really hard to measure accurately.
What with the tornado and all?
Right.
Yes.
Ripping up all the instruments.
Didn't we solve this? Isn't that what the movie was about? Twister?
You just throw the balls in the air.
Yeah,
you just throw the balls
in the air. You're all good.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Oklahoma?
We've all been to Oklahoma.
With you.
Oh, yeah, together. Yeah. You're right. We've all been there together. But I don't remember the winds.
Thanks for the memory. It's good knowing you.
I've been to the plains of Oklahoma. It's basically like constant 100 mile per hour wind. That's all basically what it's like. It's the worst. Shout out Oklahoma.
Yeah, shout out.
Turn out the lights. The party's over.
I always like to end on a high note.
Suck it, Paul George.
Second verse of that song? Why, God, why?